Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. 51551, wash your hands now. On Wednesday, we heard from Teresa. She was talking about her son, David, not their real names, but we know who they are for obvious reasons, as I'll tell the story. Her son is 22, 8 months ago, after psychiatric reviews and studies and a long, long period of discontent. Teresa's son, David, was transitioning from man to a woman, and he's been going through treatment, injections, hormone injections and medication for those 8 months, and has moved on. But unfortunately, it's all stopped because the endocrinologist who's performing the and in charge of the protocols and the medication has asked for another psychiatrist's opinion. So David was left in limbo. This prompted Erica Coates to contact us. Erica, good afternoon. I said David is 22, but you're of a different age group, Erica.
Yeah, I am, yeah. I'm 65 now. I was 64 last year when I decided I'd had to take the change.
And tell us, can you tell us your story?
Well, all my life there, even from a child, I know there was something a bit different about me. But I always, when I was young, I wanted to leave my hair long, and I loved the idea of having earrings and things, but I never knew anything about transgender, and I knew I wasn't gay.
Mm-hmm.
And a good 3 years ago, I was watching The Late Late one night, and there was a person came on and told the story, and that made a change to a transgender, and I said, that tick my boxes. I said, that's what I am. I was just,
okay.
And what, then on
what age were you then? You were called Eric then. What age were you then, Erica?
It should be, I don't know, not 15 years old now. I suppose about the 50s, I suppose. Hopefully I can't remember the exact age. But I just kept it myself totally for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
But
Wasn't easy. So you saw the Late Late Show, you saw somebody who had transitioned from male to female, and you did that rung a bell with you.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. So did you tell anybody in the family?
No, nobody at all for years and years. Well, it's probably dressy a bit more so, feminine bit by bit all the time, but told nobody. And was very anxious to try to get over, didn't know it was what to do or anything. And so that's the way I went on for years and years, and felt very bad in myself for a long time.
Yeah.
You didn't know what you were, where you were going, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
did anyone in your family or your community notice or ever say anything to you?
No, they didn't, no. But eventually I met my father died 3 years ago there, and I couldn't really say to him, he never drew it up either, but they're always wondering the way I was dressing and things, but bit by bit I was more and more when trying to come out, and eventually I was in Cork one day getting married, and I decided to go over to Debenhams, and I was looking at wanted to just try some makeup on it. It was a very nice girl, she's talking to me from the Lancome counter, I want to tell her name, but they'll know who I'm talking about in there.
Right.
And she started talking to me anyway, and I just said I was just interested in some bit of makeup, and she said a lot of men are doing that now. And I just kind of just came over to me that I was actually transgender, thinking coming out, and she was so nice and honest and genuine to me. It just came out. She was the first person in the world to say that. Just a stranger.
On the makeup counter in Debenhams and Cork.
Correct, yeah.
And they're Debenhams, I think 50% of the turnover, now they're gone now, Walker Street and horribly. But 50% of the turnover in Debenhams was makeup, Erica. So that was a kind of tipping point that she was so nice and
Well, bit by bit I was getting that way, bit slowly by surely, but that was the gate opened, and from then on I was just going across that bridge and I wasn't going to go back, and that was it. But you just couldn't believe, George, there was a sentence over me now. It would say, your mind, your body was free, move around, you could go through or whatever. Mm-hmm. But my mind was inside in solitary confinement, sentence for life, and the sentence came off and the gate were open that day.
Yeah. And so you've been, obviously as a child you don't know, but for many, many decades you felt different, that you, and then you realised that you, as you said, you weren't gay, but you wanted to be a woman.
Yeah, I didn't understand when I grew up, like, born in a rural area, these things used to be talked about at all, and that time, years after I heard about gays and lesbians and things, I knew I was that road down, and I heard of women, or men becoming women, wanting to become men, but as I said, I didn't take why is the reasons or anything, but it was on the later, when the person now, I can't remember, I couldn't even remember his face, or her face, no, or anything, but it just dawned on me, their story was my story.
And you mentioned you live in a rural community.
That's right, yeah.
And
yeah.
You're a farmer, aren't you? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Farmer, okay.
Yeah.
And have you been a farmer all your life on the family farm? Is that it?
All right, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. And the passing of your father, Erica, did that influence the timing?
Yeah, well, I was free to, probably more free to do what in, because he'd been very conservative type of person.
Yeah.
But maybe if I came out and said it, I might have been able to go that road years ago, but I don't know. I couldn't really do it.
Okay. Now, David, who we were talking about 2 days ago, he's 22, one-third your age, he started medication 8 months ago. Now, it's our treatment 8 months ago. Now it's stopped. Have you started treatment, Erica?
Well, I've gone to my local GP, and he sent me on to the Cork Transgender Support Group, and to get information there to where to go and what to do. Like, he didn't know a lot about who was the right direction, but they directed me in, so I've been a psychologist, or clinical psychologist now, and she's referred me on to the psychologist now, but over the COVID-19, that has all come to a standstill. So I'm hoping to wait for that now, so I'll be hopefully going on the hormones that in the soon. Yeah.
Have you been diagnosed? It's the wrong word, but have you been diagnosed with gender dysmorphia?
Yeah.
So you've been through that process. Okay.
Yeah, and I've been with her 3 times now, and she was very very. Well, I told my story in an honest, straightforward way, she was very easy. In fairness, now. I was dreading the medical side of things, because I thought they'd be down near 200 bricks, but from my own doctor to her, and older people in general,
you broke up there. And Erica, for someone to see you today, are you on the farm today? Are you out farming?
I am, yeah.
But Erica, for someone to see you today who saw you, say, 2 years ago, what would they notice differently?
Well, they know I'm totally dressing female now.
Okay.
And jewellery and things, now, and the nails are done all the time.
Okay.
And the other thing, I've my name changed officially now.
Well done.
Driving licence, insurance, banks, everything is changed now. So as I say, you all me is left behind now, but that's why I rang the ring you were calling over. I was afraid to go on this, but I thought that the family seemed to be in trouble, that a friendly talk that's going through would be a help to them.
Yeah. And Erica, you see, what I was thinking of was when I said to you, if someone met you today as opposed to 2 years ago, would they tell me or tell you that you look happier?
Well, I'll tell you that. They know that a lot of people know, have said it to me from the time I came out and crossed that bridge. Mm-hmm. They told me, you've totally changed completely. You're always looking so happy now, before you didn't.
Wow.
And there's times there now, even another friend of mine say, we're out in company now, and having a meal or a drink or anything, or at the races, we'll be all happy and joy. And all of a sudden, she told me that she could see me going into this black darkness in the middle of the whole thing.
This is before you got.
I was awake in the morning, I see my nails done and see the wear a dress or skirt or something, and it just feels so right. You can't understand why it does, but it does.
It feels so right when you wake up and you see your nails. I don't know, are they shellacked or what you do? I don't know what you get done with your nails, but obviously they're polished.
Yeah,
great. And you have your dress is hanging up or whatever. And has your body started changing? Have you had any hormone treatment before COVID?
Well, I went into the internet now. I never took hormones, but I took all natural products now that would be high in estrogen, and different things. I'm taking those things all the time. All right, but my body has changed a bit, actually, quite a bit, actually.
Okay, and Eric, who of your family did you tell first?
Just my brother was here, and I told him.
Mm-hmm. And what formula of words did you use?
I just told him out straight that I don't know whether you suspect or not. I think that I'm after coming to the conclusion I'm transgender and going out with it, and that's it, going with it, that's it. No ifs or buts about it.
And you want to become a woman?
Yeah, that's it.
And
because the case I had to do it, mind wasn't in such a state that I just had to do it in the end.
Okay. And how do you mind telling me how he reacted?
Well, he was cautious enough. He was saying about my age and things, and he said other people have been talking about me and things as well. And but he's getting on fine with it. But he don't say much anyway about it, but probably wasn't that keen about my age, but that was the big thing, I think. But I'm still the same person. I'm still the same neighbour to everybody, and that's it. Yeah. I'm happy as the way I should be. I should have been born. No, there's just something that goes wrong when you're born. You're born.
Yeah.
A bit of a mix-up or a bit of each, and that's it.
And how does a woman dress differently on the farm, if any different than a man dresses?
Well, as I say, when I decided to go, and all the my male clothes and all, and the worn ones were got rid of, and the better ones the new stuff was sent into the charity shops.
Okay.
And I generally wear skirt and tights, or maybe skirt and leggings, and female collars all the time.
And a pair of wellies on the farm.
Oh yeah, pink wellies, yeah.
Okay. And of your friends, Erica, were you were so brave, but you said you just had to say it. You got to a stage where you were so unhappy that you had to say to your brother, I feel I'm a woman and I want to transition. And he was understanding. He said, but as you said, what about your age? But then your friends, how did they react?
Well, I thought this was my big dark secret, and a lot of them, I told them that one of them, close neighbours of mine there, we'd be very close friends, and did any from here, I frame, and I told one of the brothers first, he said that I'd still be the same team as I always was, and, talking to his other brother then, and the 4 or 2 days after then, and what he said to me, I asked him, did you hear my big news, and he said he did, yeah. But he said we knew that for years, but we couldn't say it, yeah. But he said the way he put it to me now, and he said you're probably the most honest person I ever dealt with in my life.
Wow.
And to be true to yourself, you had to go with it.
Yeah.
That's the way
he said to you.
Are the same.
Isn't that a wonderful thing? He said to you, you're probably the most honest person I've dealt with in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. But other people are also just surprised to the world, the reaction from people, who told they heard it, and when they saw me, arms around and hugged me, and even another person I know, I got in the post a voucher for €100 for a beauty treatment. The kindness that I thought was stunning.
So what do you love about being a woman?
It's just what I should have been, that's it.
Yeah. But you obviously, as you say, you love seeing your nails done, and you bought a whole new wardrobe, including new wellies. So it obviously makes you feel very comfortable.
Yeah, that's it. Even not long after we know down at the mart and everything, and I just felt so right, no embarrassment at all. People were looking at me or whatever. That was it. Made no difference.
Well, say when people ring you, Erica, and your voice hasn't changed, has it? Maybe it has.
No.
Well, when people ring you, do they think you're still Eric?
Well, some people know.
Okay.
With my credit card, I thought I was just compromised. I think they came up online, and I cancelled the card, and I had to go to the bank. They ordered no one. And first of all, the girl on the phone in the bank was worried about. She wanted to confirm who I was and things. She wanted to step, but yeah. I still had a mild voice kind of thing, and so I thought after a bit, and I thought I was trying to use a video and say that first, but she was wondering that in case. It was genuine, but that was the first time that came across with me. But some people, they don't know if they are wondering. But I just honestly tell them that's where I came
from.
Them,
okay, tell me if there is when there is a moment of awkwardness like that, when they hear your voice and they think you're still Eric. What do you say, Erica?
Well, so I just said it as I was born in the wrong body, and I had to make the change in the story. And
okay,
most people, as I say. People know me, and they just said just mention, and I can see that or something like that. But I just can't believe how most people. Some people, they probably don't understand and they say nothing. But I never got any empty person stuff about like people know me, who I am, what I am in the story.
But you mentioned a group in Cork. A transgender group. Do you say you're still involved with them?
Yeah, we were having a meeting once a month now, and there are people now that have gone through it as well, but we only have the online meetings there now on Zoom. And anyone now that have problems or are wanting to go that way, they're free to come and go and have a chat with them, and we all give our bit of experience.
Yeah, and you help each other.
Help each other, yes. That's what life is about. Isn't it? That's what your program is about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why I rang the other day. Because
people sharing stories and coming, people who've been through the process, talking about it and trying to help other people on the way.
Yeah.
Erica, have you ever found love? Outside of your family, obviously, but have you ever found love?
No, I never had a relationship with anybody.
Okay.
Interested, I suppose, a long time ago. I interested a few times on nice girls there, never made a date or anything. Just couldn't take that step.
But you're still a young man. You're 65.
Yeah, but...
Not anxious, but are you... Do you desire love in that sense? Romantic love?
Well, I don't, as I say, not really. I don't... Not at the moment, anyway. Just, as I say, I'm taking one day. Just leaving one day... As I go now, I have my dogs at home now, and that's it. And I go with my friends and things, and I'll do different things as well and go places together. But relationship or anything that I know, like when I should be doing it long ago, I just couldn't bring myself across the line. That was it.
Yeah.
At the time, I didn't know why, but. You see a lot of things after, and when you look back and think.
Yeah. Well, I hope if that's what you wish, you find love, Erica. I really do. Yeah. You sound like a gorgeous woman. You really do. Fiona Morphy is listening in North America, and her parents are from County Mayo. Fiona.
How are you, Joe? How are you, Erica?
Yeah, listen to Erica, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Fiona. Okay, go ahead, Fiona.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just, we listen to RT every morning in all these years. I've never had occasion to kind of phone in, but I was so profoundly moved by the courage that, Erica, that you've been showing, and how beautiful the story is, but also how important it is for every young person, every middle-aged person, everyone who's struggling with something similar, that your courage, you know, it's something that could transform other people's lives, just hearing you telling your story. And, you know, they say that the most important words in times of struggle are hearing somebody else say, me too, and just knowing somebody else is going through that. So we're all the way out here in Chicago with tears in our eyes, just so grateful that you shared your story, that you have courage, Erica. And should you ever want to try and find love over here in the States, when COVID ends, hop on a flight and sure, we'll take you around here, because you sound like a wonderful woman, and I'm sure I could find someone for you here.
And Fiona, the next question you're going to ask Erica is, how big is your farm, Erica?
Exactly. Well, with a personality like that, Erica, sure, it doesn't matter how big the farm is.
Exactly,
So, that's really wonderful. Thank you. It's profoundly moving all the way on this side of the pond.
Oh, okay. Isn't that
to hear the story.
Now, that's a wonderful gesture by you, Fiona. Thank you so much to you.
I appreciate it. You see, Fiona and George, when things get bad, like even the coronavirus, it brings the good out of people, and that's what we need in this world today. There's a lot of good if we only open our eyes and talk about the good and help each other. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Well, I can guarantee you that you have helped people today, Erica, because there are many people who are going through that same challenge of knowing how to be vulnerable and honest and really let the people around them see who they really are. So thank you.
And Fiona, of the two things that Erica said, sorry, two issues or differences in terms of stories we've heard before of people transitioning. Erica, one is her age, 65, and two is the fact that she lives in rural Ireland and is a farmer. Which one of them buoys you up most? Which one of them encourages you most?
I would probably say the rural aspect.
Would you?
Because I know that, you know, for a lot of people, there are a lot of very good people who still don't know how to really, you know, meet someone with kindness and empathy when that person's experience is so different than theirs. So when I was listening to you talking, Erica, about how, you know, you went up to the makeup counter and things like that, it was, to me, you know, it was a sign of how far Ireland's come from, you know, when I'd be a young child there, you know, anybody different, you know, people would kind of raise an eyebrow about, you wouldn't know how to address it. And to hear how you were met with the kindness that you deserve. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's really the thing. It's what you deserve as a human being, is to be taken just as you are, and just how, in the ways that make you happy. So I'm very proud of the Irish today.
Okay, fair. Lovely, lovely. And happy July the 4th. When is that, tomorrow, Fiona?
It's tomorrow. Yeah, it's tomorrow.
It's a bit muted this year. Well, maybe it isn't. But.
Well, you know, I think it's definitely muted, but I think Erica's story is what reminds me of what freedom is really about.
That's a good point. Independence, yeah. Independence Day.
Absolutely.
Today is Erica's.
Thanks very much for sharing.
Okay, thank you for contacting us, Fiona. Today is Erica's Independence Day, or the day he made that decision to transition to a woman, as he felt that he was and he now is. Rachel Rathborn. Rachel, good afternoon. You're listening to Erica.
Hi, Joe.
Good, thanks.
It's Rathbone.
Oh, Rathbone. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Tell us your story, Rachel.
So, I suppose I'm 49, almost 49 years of age, and I started transitioning 3 years ago now.
Okay.
3 years ago, this May gone by, and I was self-medicating for the first 2.5 years of it, but I've went to a clinic in the UK, and I'm under the WPATH scheme. It's world best practice in transgender healthcare, which they don't do here in Ireland. So I went there because I've been waiting for 3 years to be seen here so far.
And were you diagnosed with gender dysphoria?
Yes, by the doctors in the UK.
Okay. And well, you're obviously a woman. What stage are you at medically? Can I ask without being too intrusive?
Of course. Well, I've not had any surgeries yet, but I've obviously I'm almost 3 years on medication, so there has been a lot of changes. Like, but the best changes have been in my own being, like in my mind. You know, it's secondary for the body. It was the psychological part, but it's the most beautiful part for me. You know, it's a balance of my hormones now instead of them being all haywire. You know, is how I feel about it. Like,
and as Erica said, the moment for, or when she was Eric, was watching, seeing somebody else, me too, the Me Too moment, seeing somebody on the Late Late Show. Was there a moment for you, Rachel?
There was. It was, I left home at 13 and I was working in England by the time I was 14. This is in 1985. And I was in the canteen one day in the factory and I seen an article about a transgender woman. And that was the first time I heard about transgender or anything in 1985, like. So it was the first time that I realised. But then the other lads came in and seen the article and they were just saying the cruelest and most vile things, and it sort of made me afraid then to ever come out or anything. And it took me until I was 45 to finally get up the courage.
And what was it like then living in your body, knowing that this was not the way you wanted to live?
Oh, it's very hard to describe, but it'd be like you're caged, or like you're not being yourself. You're acting the whole time. It's an act.
Yeah.
You know, most of it, and you're just lost the whole time. And a lot of the time, I wanted to die. I self-harmed. I tried to commit suicide. Luckily, I was unsuccessful with that. But it is a lot of pressure on you, you know, because you're not really living your full life. You're getting bits here and there of life, and it's never satisfy you, you know.
Yeah. And how are you doing now? Did you, for example, did you do what Erica did? When I asked her, because she was a farmer, she is a farmer. And I said, did you change your farming outfit? And she said, in a lovely way, yes, she got rid of all her old male clothes and she went out and bought a new outfit for working on the farm. What about you and your, say, for example, your clothes, Rachel, and all that process?
Well, what happened for me was one morning I woke up and I had enough, and that was 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I got up and I got all my clothes and brought them up to the charity shop and came back out with another bag of clothes that suited me. Because I'm not very rich or anything. I couldn't go to boutiques or anything. But that's what I done. And I came out in that day as well. I came out to the world that day. Because it was that, or I didn't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, you know.
So it was in an instant. I'm sure the little town I live in was shocked, but lovely to me now.
Well, I've been loving to hear that. But you said you ran away. You went away when you were 13.
Yeah, well, it's a complicated story.
Okay.
Not to speak about.
Yeah, good stuff. And Rachel, are you living back in Ireland now?
Oh yeah, I've been here back since 1990.
Oh, brilliant! And again, I'll ask you if I can about family and friends, and
of course,
and I presume, like with Erica, I said, what would someone who met you today and 2 years ago say to you? They say he's happier. Would that be the image people have of you now, Rachel?
Yeah, but it'd be she's happier.
She's happier. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. And everybody calls me by my name. Like,
great,
you know,
great. Well, that is your name. End of.
And I've got the gender recognition certificate as well.
Okay.
So I'm legally female, and that was a...
And you change all your...
empowering moment, you know, for me. But, my son calls me ma'am, and my sister calls me sister, and so does my brothers, and I'm my mother's daughter now, you know. It's a beautiful life that I've entered into.
Yeah, great. I'm so glad to hear. What do you want to say? Do you want to say something to Erica or vice versa?
Well, I hope that you're proud of yourself, because you should be, and well done. Yeah. And I'm delighted for you. Very happy to hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you told a lot of my story as well there. That we both
living this, we're in the same position there. You're just, you will be happy sometimes doing something, whatever, like working mm-hmm. things there. But there was always something inside that you weren't where you should be and what you were.
Oh, since I was a little girl.
Yeah,
it's been that
same
way.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'd like to just say thank you, Erica, as well, because you gave me the courage today to speak on the radio, you know.
Because the lady on about her child Sunday, or Wednesday put me going. They were in a desperate way, and I only went rang the show to get them to ring me if I could help them.
Because
I was nervous about the idea of going on the air. Yeah. I'd be kind of a very private person, actually, and shy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the opposite.
Are you Rachel, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Lynn Tracy wants to say hello to you both, to Rachel and to Erica. Go ahead, Lynn.
Hi, Rachel. Hi, Erica. I just wanted to say you're extraordinary and inspirational women, and you should be incredibly proud because I think your work will help David, who my heart breaks for, and will help other people who are struggling with their identities, because it's a really... It's a really, really tough road. But just continuing being the brilliant, brave woman you are.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
Appreciate that, yeah. And you just have to be what you are, and that's it, in the story.
Yeah.
Just be.
And Lynn, there is... You say you have a trans daughter.
I have a trans daughter, yes. Yeah. She's 21, she? Alice. And she's just an amazing, fantastic lady. And... Sorry, I'm getting a bit emotional.
Yeah,
we're incredibly proud of her, and her way has been paved by generations of people before her who have been brave and brilliant.
And when did she decide that she wanted to transition?
It's not a decision.
That's okay. It's a realization. Yeah.
A decision suggests that it's a choice.
Yeah, good point. Well, thank
it's
you,
not a choice. It's who she is, and it took her a while to realise who she is, but she told us when she was 16, and we were able to access the services very quickly, and we officially came out when she had the diagnosis of gender dysphoria, which is I don't like the word diagnosis either. So she came out in June of 2016, and we were immediately public about it, because it's not scandalous. It's her story, and we got amazing support from... She was in an all-boys school. They were fantastic. She decided to move school. Her friends. She went to the depths as Alice.
Great.
To the all-boys school depths, which was momentous. And she's happy and she's Alice.
Isn't that fantastic? And I'm just thinking the age that Alice was able to say it to her parents is fantastic, 16. But Eric, as you heard, 65. Rachel, 45, when she was able to say it and do something about it. So well done, well done. And you say the school was fantastic. Isn't that great to hear?
The school were brilliant.
And rightly so.
Absolutely, absolutely. And whatever support they would have facilitated her had she wanted to stay. They kept in touch with her new school. The headmaster sent her a text when she started her new school, and it was to say how proud they were of her and that they wished her every happiness. And if I can name check the school, if that's okay.
Of course you can.
It's St. Mary's in Rathmines, and they were nothing but fantastic and supportive of who she is. Yeah. And as they say, the headmaster sent her a text on her first day of her new school to wish her every happiness and textbook.
Great stuff. Well, kind regards to you and your daughter, Lynn. That's Lynn Tracy.
Thank you.
Erica, if you can stay with us, and Rachel, and we'll be back after this break. 51551, wash hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Erica is a farmer. Erica, what's to be done on the farm today? I know every day is a long day. What are we doing on the farm today?
Or trying to repair machinery today, you know, putting a rake back together. So I'll have my red nails and black hands in a minute now.
Well, don't break your nails. Sure you won't.
Yeah.
They're beautiful, I'd say. They're beautiful. And what about social life? I know it's lockdown, unfortunately, Erica. What about your social life?
Well, I'd be fairly quiet. I like concerts now and things up to Cork or... Friends of mine are involved in racing. Is there a go racing and things with that?
Well, there's no, there's racing on, but you can't go. Okay, Matthew Ronan is in Wexford. Matthew.
Yeah, I'm just, Erica, you are incredibly brave. And I know you're compelled. You had no choice in the matter. But still, to remain in your own home and area and do that change when most people will go to a big city and lose themselves, your bravery is unbelievable. And you're not only struggled, but you have a sense of humour about you too, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. I'm so impressed with you. So impressed.
And Matthew, I don't know whether when you were holding there, you could hear Erica, but when I said to her about what work is to be done on the farm today, she said she's fixing machinery and she's worried about getting her beautiful nails cracked now, which and her nail polish breaking. But that's,
I felt guilty the minute she mentioned the nails. I thought, shame on me. Shame on me talking about broken nails. Because, again, it's just attitudes towards people. So what? Yeah. Don't be worrying about somebody's nails. In fact, being a novelty of being able to do it. Of course you go out working on a farm with fabulous nails.
Of course, yeah. And you also come in great praise for that makeup artist in Debenhams in Cork.
Oh, God bless her. God bless her. And there should be more people in the world like that. Yeah. Because I remember the 70s when the Late Late Show had people on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember all the snickering in the audience. And that person probably spoke to Erica and maybe one or two other people. And the good it did outweighed all the snickering that we as stupid people back then would have had, you know? Yeah. It was brilliant. Thank God for the Late Late Show for things like that.
Yeah. And she's so helpful since giving me advice and everything. And like, she was not alone either. There's more men there are good. Like, she was the one to open the gate. And there's another girl in Brown Thompson again. Another little star as well. They don't understand. That's what I couldn't believe, that the way they understand and the helpfulness to have people.
Well, just rather than hiding yourself under a bushel, you know, out you come and be part of society and accept yourself, be to your own self, be true.
Yeah. Well said, Matthew. Well said. And Erica, the fact that you're so yourself now, which is the way you always felt, but you didn't feel comfortable expressing your true gender. Do you say to yourself, and again, I don't know what the benefit is, so I don't know what the benefit of the question is, but I'm going to ask it. Do you say to yourself, I wish I had transitioned earlier?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Like, I'd say, if you could put back the clock, and I'd have done it from a child, and that's in the story. If I'd known earlier, I probably would have come out sooner, but I know when you got, I was stuck in the road, and I didn't know where to go or what to do, but as I said, I kept in my own little shell kind of thing, as I said, in solitary confinement.
Solitary, that's what it felt like, solitary confinement. You're giving great hope to people today, Erica. Caroline is on the line. Caroline, what would you like to say, please?
Hi, Joe. Hi, Erica. How are you?
Hiya.
I think you're an incredibly brave person, and I just wish you so much luck. I really do.
Appreciate it.
It's just a beautiful story. It's just so sad it took so long.
Yeah. And can I ask your story, Caroline, your family story, your daughter's story, your son's story?
I have a daughter, and she got after kind of maybe finding herself last year, so we don't know yet. So, we're sticking by her, and whatever her decision is, her decision is my daughter, and that's it.
Okay, and that's why Erica's story is so powerful. Is it powerful? Not because of her wonderful personality solely, but the fact that she came out, she transitioned when she was 65, and that, as Fiona was saying from Chicago, the thing that struck her is that Erica transitioned in a rural area, and Matthew added it as well. He didn't move to a big city to hide. What elements of the story are uplifting, Caroline, for you?
I think it's the whole thing. I really do. I think rural-wise, absolutely, it must be so much harder. And yeah. I think that if you have a close group of friends, that's all that matters. Yeah. Really, that's what matters. They'll always be there for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're the people that you're going to rely on. And they're the people that will accept you for who you are.
And I wish you, I wish you and your daughter well on her journey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you. Good luck.
Bye-bye. Erica, have you made new friends since you've become a woman? Since you've publicly, because you're always a woman, but since you publicly became a woman, have you made new friends?
Yeah, a few, yeah. Like in the group in Cartonville, well, there's male transgender and female transgender and that now, but... Well, another thing I noticed as well, you know, Joe, is that people I know well, that they seem to get on a lot better with them now than I did before. I probably know a happier-looking person as well, you know, easier to maybe... I don't know, no, I can't... As I say, I had the mirror with me, you know, but...
Okay.
If I looked anything like I felt, I can't have been that happy-looking in myself. So, like, that's probably off-putting for other people as well, but...
Okay, well, that's...
My sister in Dublin, again, you know, she's happy out with it as well. You know, the big thing is to be happy in yourself. That's a big thing.
Yeah, here. And not only are you, from what you're telling us, you're happy in yourself, Erica, but I can tell you people are happy hearing your story, and a lot of people are uplifted and are gaining courage from it. So I wish you well, Erica.
Thanks very much, yeah.
Kind personal regards to you and your family. I hope the farm work is heavy, and this weather is getting heavier. But you've stayed well during the lockdown, obviously, thankfully, and stay well and stay as healthy as you are at the minute, which sounds incredible, and stay as open and as warm as you are. That's the reaction we're getting from people. Erica Coates, go to Mila Margot, Erica, and look after yourself, and Godspeed to everything you want to do.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much, and hope to have helped other people.
Yeah, sure did. That's Erica Coates from Cork, 51551.